Okay, we will. Let's bring in Tim Hasselbeck because we're ready. Yes, we are ready for him. It's like we are every week. Von Miller traded to the Rams. As we joked yesterday, we didn't even know the Rams had any more draft picks until 2035, but apparently they had two more to give to the Broncos. Ironically, the Titans play the Rams Sunday Night Football. Does Von Miller have any impact at all in that game? And what is he today?
Well, I actually think he's looked fairly healthy. Okay. Does he have an impact? Yeah, I think he could have an impact. I mean, look, if Derrick Henry were still healthy, I would think that you know, the balance and the way that the Titans, you know, run their offense typically, you know, could help neutralize the guys that are really good pass rushers that, you know, kind of known passing situations can really get after it, especially when you've got a really good player inside and you've got another good player on the other side. So, you know, typically I would say yes, but I do believe, I would say no, but I think that probably going to look a little different offensively for the Titans. So I do think he could have an impact on the game.
Do you think the rest of the way that Adrian Peterson can have any impact for the Titans?
What do you mean, any impact?
Well, I mean, I know he's not going to be Derrick Henry, so I'm trying to be careful in how I phrase this. I mean, can he give them any type of lift? Can he give them any type of production, you think, the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, I think he can help, just like, but, you know, I also think that, you know, Jeremy McNichols can help too, right? Like, here's how I feel about this when guys get hurt. You know, everyone says, like, oh my gosh, this is the worst. Like, what are we going to do? And look, it could happen where it's like, it's their downfall and they don't have a response to it. But, you know, we've also seen in the NFL example after example of, you know, somebody that's an unknown player, or somebody get an opportunity or somebody's role change because of an injury and guys take advantage of it. So, you know, I just think in fairness to, Ryan Tannehill and the rest of that offense, in fairness to, you know, guys that are going to get an opportunity, like, let's see if they can do it. Like, let's see if Mike White just threw for 400 yards. Like, no one knew anything about Mike White, you know, 2 weeks ago. But he, you know, he's got his uniform and a football sitting in Canton, Ohio right now.
By the way, we knew Mike White because we watched him at Western Kentucky.
There you go.
But I didn't know he was the backup quarterback for the Jets. I'm like, whoa. I mean, how do you even explain that? 405 yards and 3 touchdowns carves up the Bengals in a win?
Yeah, I mean, how do I explain it? Like, I think this, that when players come out, and look, you know, that could be one game. I mean, who knows? But, you know, typically speaking, most guys that make it to that point, you know, they have talent and ability. It's not about doing something one time. You know, it's about, can you consistently do it? And can you consistently do it against other really good players when people are trying to confuse you as a quarterback and stuff like that? It's not about can somebody do it once. And so, like, how you explain that, I think, is, look, most players are good enough to do it. I think the thing that was impressive to me watching him was that, you know, he from the
He's in the West Wing. There he is.
And assured. What? He just seemed assured to me. And I think that's hard to do, being in that spot. Mm.
So when you look at – by the way, this Henry Ruggs thing is really bad. I don't have any sympathy for him because somebody lost their life. And NFL players, as you know, Tim, are afforded luxuries that we don't have as average Joes, where, you know, they've got – they got actually people on staff that'll come get you, or they'll pay for stuff.
Right.
You know, you don't have to drive home if you're going to go out and have a good time. But now this decision, this very, very bad decision, this one decision is going to affect him for the rest of his life. It's just sad. It's sad to me that a guy just beginning is now his life is forever affected because of one really, really poor decision.
Yeah, I think the NFL, I mean, if you go back probably a decade, you know, I think that it would be fair to say that it was drinking and driving in the NFL was a real, really big issue for a long time. I mean, it seemed like, you know, once a month there was somebody getting, pulled over for a DUI. And clearly, I mean, I don't think everybody knows how dangerous that can be. And this from happening. And so all teams, and maybe you guys have talked about this, but like all teams, you know, talk to their players early in the season about it and then give them the resources, which I think is what you're referring to, in that you can call a hotline. It doesn't get reported back to the team, and you can get right home. And, like, I don't know how, you know, what else you can do, you know, other than that.
Yeah.
So I think that's what you're referring to, and it makes being a player, being afforded those resources, it makes it completely, you know, not that it would be otherwise, but it makes it indefensible.
Yep. Is Odell Beckham done in Cleveland? Is that book complete? Is it that chapter closed? That book closed? It just seems like that thing is over. What do you think?
It seems that way. Here's the part for me that I don't get this. Like, I know families are supportive. Like, I get all that. I mean, look, I've been on TV talking when my brother was a player. Look, it's how I started coming on the radio with you guys. But I don't get why family members feel the need to, like, go tell a bunch of people on social media that, like, how good somebody is and how terrible somebody else is, and is that terrible player's fault that this really good player that they're related to is outstanding? Like, what does that matter? Who are you telling that to? Like, I'm blown away by, like, the immaturity of adults sometimes to feel like they've got to go, I don't know, justify somebody maybe not having statistics or justify or respond to somebody that's being critical of a player. And then, unfortunately, I think what that breeds is it breeds a really toxic and bad environment. And I think it's contributing to what's gone on in Cleveland. And, yeah, like, they may be in a situation where they end up cutting Odell Beckham. And I think some of it will have to do with just basically selfishness and immaturity, which is wild because he's had games this season where they targeted him 7 times, 8 times, 9 times in football games. Like, they're throwing it to him 6 times a game right now, basically. And he missed the first 2 games of the season. And yet now they're getting ready to cut him because, like, or potentially cut him because, honestly, just like some immaturity.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. So, Tim, Jordan Love going to start because Aaron Rodgers on the COVID list. What do you need to see out of him against the Chiefs just in his first big game action?
I think that the expectation should be that he shows awesome command of what they're doing offensively. Like, I don't think that what they do, plays they will call, I don't think that they will change. Their identity, you know, is definitely a team that's kind of changed into, you know, wanting to run the football more, have more balance, move the pocket off of stuff off of that. And I think that's what they'll try to do. And so he should show good command of that because he's been in that system. And, you know, he had opportunities this offseason to get reps in it, and he had opportunities in the preseason to get reps in it. And, look, we've seen other quarterbacks come in without those same types of things, with less ability, quite honestly, have success. So I think that should be the expectation for Jordan Love.
With the Cowboys and their win on Sunday without Dak Prescott, I mean, what does that do for a team to when you're without – and, I mean, Green Bay could possibly be in the same position without mm-hmm. without Aaron this week. But to win a game that people may look at, okay, no Dak Prescott, probably not a good chance, Cooper Rush, who's that? But to do that and come through in the clutch like they did, I mean, what does that do for an already confident team?
Yeah, I think it just builds on that confidence. And Mike McCarthy talked about – you know, just the importance of that win and how it felt like a big deal. And just even the reaction of the team afterwards, it seemed like, I mean, think about it. Like, they beat the Vikings. It wasn't like, you know, they just, you know, beat the Cardinals and they were no longer undefeated. Like, they beat the Vikings, a team that has definitely struggled, but the reaction to it was different. I think that was a confidence, to your point, already a confident team, but a confidence-boosting win. Because it's not just all about the quarterback. You saw other people step up. But then you also, you know, and I think in some ways a confidence builder for coaches to have somebody come in and play as well as Cooper Rush did in that spot. And then it also ends up being like a career-changing experience for somebody like Cooper Rush. So, yeah, I think it's hard to quantify how important that is or what that can do for a team, but it felt like it was a big deal for them.
Tim, as we let you go, what team that's at 500 or just slightly below maybe is better than the record shows and could make a run as we move along here?
So here's the deal. I'm going to keep beating the drum for the Steelers. I think we got it. So what, like they're 4-3. So is that close enough to 500 for
you?
Yeah,
yeah, that's it.
I just look. I don't know if they're a Super Bowl team. In fact, you know, I probably think that they're not. But you know, there also is an element with that. Like they outrushed the Browns this past weekend. I think they're getting better at running the football. It's a rebuild offensive line and a rookie running back. Is the quarterback perfect? No. But John Elway and Peyton Manning won Super Bowls. You know, when their physical skills had diminished because they did other things well. And so, and then you look at the Steelers defense, like they have probably, you know, one of the three best defensive players in the game. And their coach just seems to find a way to do things the right way and get his team to play well. So I just feel like people have been burying them for so long. And I don't know why everyone feels like there needs to be this need to be early to that party. They probably don't win their division, but if they end up winning 10 games, which they might, and go into the postseason, that's not going to be an easy win for anybody.
Thumbs up or thumbs down on Coach Lasso on Sunday, brother Matt?
Oh, you know what? Here's the deal. This is kind of what a loser I am during the football season. I've never seen an episode.
Tim, I haven't either.
I haven't either.
Full disclosure.
Because like you're doing radio every day, you're watching sports on the weekend,
yep.
And you're doing hockey games at pregame at night. Like there's just,
I haven't seen one episode.
When would you? Right. So, yeah, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I wouldn't. But okay. There's a Halloween photo out there circulating that I think is. Of me, that's pretty good, from 15 years ago.
Really?
Eli Manning posted it on Twitter.
Okay.
I think my costume's better than his, actually, to be honest with you.
Okay, we're going to go look for that. Okay, good okay. Tip. Good heads up. Hey, we know you got to roll. Thanks for doing this, as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you guys.
Tim Hasselbeck, every week. We love our conversations with him. We'll come back and wrap up the third hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase. We will do that next.